WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits.
Verse 2, and it says this. I'm going to frame this up since I'm just going to be in one little verse. I'm going to frame this whole thing up so we understand the context of Scripture. How many people understand that context is very important? People can really grab a hold of a Scripture and make a false doctrine out of it. So we have to see what's before it and what's after it. Amen? And what we see here in this story is we see Paul going into the city of Ephesus, and he finds Christians already there, already present, because of a man named Apollos. And it's really interesting to see that these Christians come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. A saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul walks up to them and he says this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And it got me wondering, there's other churches out there that do not believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They do not believe that the Holy Spirit is for us today. They believe it was something that was done back in Acts, poured out into the new church, and then we're supposed to be done with it. But it's interesting that Paul came to the conclusion that you can come to Jesus Christ without having a filling of the Holy Spirit, or having the Holy Spirit come upon you. Why does the Holy Spirit come upon you? He comes upon you so that you can do great exploits for Jesus Christ. We see in Acts 1:8 that He will pour out His Spirit upon you so that you might be witnesses. He wants you to be witnesses. And we see a group of Christians that have not had the Holy Spirit poured out upon them, and so they were just sitting around having church. That's interesting. So, in the way my mind worked, I started thinking about decaffeinated coffee. I remember going to a pastor's meeting. It's been a few months ago. We went to a pastor's meeting at the Cowboy Church down past Yates Center. I can't tell you exactly where it's at, but it's a good church. Pastor John Petty is the pastor's name, and it's a really good church and a really good pastor. He has the heart of God. And so I was sitting there at this pastoral meeting, and I just flippantly grabbed a hold of a coffee and just poured it in. And I'd like to have 3 scoops of sugar, if anybody ever wants to make me coffee, 3 scoops of sugar and some cream. And so I drank it and I'm going, boy, I'm just not getting jazzed here. What's going on? So I got me another cup. I mean, my stomach was bloated by the end of the day and I was still wanting to go to sleep. I asked somebody, I said, did you take the fizz out of this thing? What's going on? And they go, oh, no, that's the decaffeinated cup. Why in the world, what kind of demonic power would make you put decaf in? Why would I want to drink this stuff if it doesn't give me a jolt? Anyway, decaffeinated coffee. So follow me, because I'm going somewhere with this. We drink it, but it has no effects of what regular coffee does. Lord only knows. I don't want. If anybody here drinks decaffeinated coffee, I'm sorry. I don't need anybody offended with me. But okay. Well, okay. But me personally, I don't like decaffeinated coffee. It's like drinking grossness for no reason at all. If I'm going to drink coffee, it better give me a jolt. Amen. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Nobody wants to see Pastor Mike in the morning. I thought for sure my wife would say amen. And it got me thinking about decaffeinated Christianity. Oh, now I'm going somewhere. Now you guys figure out where I'm headed? All right, now I know I'm not meddling. There might be some in the church today, and I say in the church today, I'm not saying this church, I'm saying the church, God's body, the body of Christ. So I'm making a broad stroke so nobody thinks that I'm talking to them this morning. But there might be some in this congregation who like decaffeinated coffee. And so the question is, why do you drink it if it doesn't do anything for you? You know, decaffeinated coffee won't wake you up. It won't perk you up. It won't keep you up. It's just there. It looks like coffee, smells like coffee, tastes like coffee. But it just doesn't do for you what regular coffee does. It's a coffee substitute. Amen? How many thought that you would come to church this morning and get a theology on coffee? Well, one of you, because you knew my sermon. The sad truth of the matter is, decaffeinated coffee just isn't real coffee. Amen? You guys understand that? It's just not real. You can drink it, but it ain't real, because it doesn't have the power. It doesn't have the jolt. It doesn't wake you up. If you drink decaffeinated coffee, you have to slam a couple of jelly donuts or something with sugar to get you going. But, I mean, come on. Decaffeinated coffee, it just doesn't work. Amen? Amen. So, that brings me to the message this morning. You know, there's a form of decaffeinated Christianity in American churches today. And we buy into it more than what we think. We do. Because I sit, my wife hates it, because I turn on certain channels and she goes, don't stay on it, don't stay on it, don't stay on it. And I will stay on a channel, and then all of a sudden I'll start talking like this, and I'll start saying Jesus loves you, Jesus wants a good life for you, and He wants you to prosper, and you don't have to go through any stuff. Just come to Christianity and everything will be fine. Now, buy my book. It's $99.95. It's on the bestseller list. And everybody's reading it. It's drinking decaffeinated coffee. We go through this form of what we think it is to be a Christian, but deep down we're afraid to get out of the boat because we're afraid somebody might classify us as religious fanatics or nuts. I like being called nuts. I like being called crazy. I like doing things outside of the box. I like the best compliment I can ever have. I've had two compliments this last year. Number one, you don't act like a pastor. I love that. I said thank you. I think they were trying to hurt my feelings, but I took it as a compliment. I said hallelujah. There's too many phony pastors out there anyway. Why not be real? And the second, I'm not going to tell you what the second one is. The second one is I preach too hard. Thank you. Because the church in America is broken, and we've had too much decaffeinated coffee served to the Christians. It's about time we start offering up something that they could eat. Something that could give you some strength. You know, when you eat sugar all the time, guess what you get? Diabetes. And there's a lot of Christians today with sugar diabetes because they've been eating some fast food, junk food stuff all the time, and they don't get real good nourishment when they come to church. I like serving up meat. Amen? I am not a vegetarian Christian. I like meat. And I think all of us here have been saved long enough, you don't need the bottle. You need some meat because we're going through some stuff today and we need some nourishment so that we might have strength. That's why you eat, right? It's not just because you're hungry. It's because your body needs fuel. Why do you need fuel? Because you need fuel to go through the day. We're going through some stuff today in our churches, and what we need is food so we might have nourishment, so that we might give strength to our bodies, so that we might have power to move on in what's going on in our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That was free. So, we have decaffeinated our faith. Churches aren't Pentecostal anymore. My son said, you know, Dad, are we the only Pentecostal church in this town? I said, son, we're not Pentecostal yet. We're heading in the right direction. We're a lot farther along than most. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we're not where we were. My Lord, Pentecostal people back in the 50s and 60s were crazy. They would have church all day. They would get lost in the Spirit. And they would roll around on the floors. That's why everybody heard the name Holy Roller. That's where it came from. They would roll around on the floor. They would have fits. They would have fun. And when they left, they were empowered to deal with the devil all through the week. Amen?
Amen.
But we have decaffeinated our faith. Decaffeinated our faith. We've cut down the edges. We smoothed it over so we're seeker friendly and we don't offend. Jesus told me I'm going to offend people. The preaching of the cross is offensive. That's what the Bible says. So I'm going to offend when I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you preach it effectively with the power of the Holy Ghost behind you and He's speaking through you, guess what's going on? I might be saying, repent because you do this. Other people over here might be hearing something completely and totally different. And when you guys leave, you guys have heard a complete and total different message from everybody else, but everybody has gotten something from it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I remember one time I was sharing this with Francis. I remember one time the pastor preached a message and I got so convicted on my speech. I came to him after the service and I said, Pastor, that was an awesome message. And I told him what I got out of it and he goes, but I didn't preach that. That's what I got. Hallelujah, that's what I needed at that time. But there's churches out there that don't do that because they have decaffeinated their faith, which means they will not allow the power of the Holy Spirit to invade their lives, to invade their reading, to invade their studying time, so that when they preach the message, it's by the power and inspiration of God Himself through the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you guys leave here today, I hope that you leave here with something. My son will tell you as soon as I get in the car and drive back home, I'll ask him, what'd you get? What'd you get out of today? I hate it when he says, Jesus loves me. I said, really? You didn't know that? Yeah, love you. So we've seen our churches, when they've cut down the edges, smoothed off the rough places that makes others feel uncomfortable, and we wonder why there's no power in our services. My God. That's what happened to Paul in our text. He went to a church in Ephesus and he saw a powerless church. He goes, "What in the world did Apollos teach you?" And we go into a baptism. They baptize them in the name of John the Baptist. And he says, "No, you baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ." And so we get another denomination out of that. It's crazy what we get out of scriptures. But what Paul was trying to get to understand is, how could you be Christians and not have power? Because what he's experienced, from day one, he got knocked off his horse by Jesus Christ. His first conversion was power. And then his life, he was blinded and somebody laid hands on him and he got to see. So he saw Jesus Christ and power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost because he laid hands on him and he was healed. So he saw other believers having power. So he understood that if you said you were a Christian, you're to have power. Well, he went to a church that had none. And he said, "What in the world are you doing? This is not biblical." But more or less, that's what Paul was doing. He was trying to figure out why this church had no power. And he found out why. We don't know who the Holy Spirit is. That is a condemning word for many Christians today. We just don't know who He is. So of course you're not going to have power if you don't plug into the outlet socket. Amen. You can have a fan, but it's not going to have power until you plug it in. A Christian is not going to have power until you plug yourself into the power of the Holy Ghost. So, have you ever been to a church and wondered where the power was? I have. Come on, let's be honest. I've wondered, where in the world is the power in this church? You know, the pastor gets up and he preaches and it's like watching the dead man preach. And the prayer, you know, the prayer is, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I praise the Lord my soul to..." You guys understand what I'm saying? It just feels like something's missing. Have you ever been to a church? It just feels like, what in the world? There's something going on. I don't know what it is, but I just feel that there's something. It's called dunamis. When the Holy Spirit is there, it blows things up. Right? So when you go into a place, it's supposed to be disrupted. Lives are supposed to be rearranged. The Holy Spirit's going to meddle in your business. It's going to be chaos. But it's a peaceful chaos with God. That's what Paul was wondering when he came to Ephesus. So he asked, "When you were baptized, whose baptism were you baptized in?" And they said, "Apollos baptized us in the name of John." And I can hear, when I read this, I can hear him say, "Ah, that's it." Because you can go back to the baptism of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was baptized, he went under. When he came back, a dove, like a dove. People think that the Holy Spirit's a dove. No, it's just a symbolism of what they used. It says, "Like a dove, the Holy Spirit came down and rested upon Jesus Christ." It's interesting to note that Jesus Christ did not perform one miracle until he had the Holy Spirit upon him. Not one. Not one recorded miracle until after he had the Holy Spirit. But Mike, he was God. Well, he was God, yes, but he was man. And so he needed the power of God on his life. That's a whole different topic. I don't want to get into it. So he asked, "When you were baptized, did you receive the Holy Ghost?" That's an interesting question. "When you were baptized, did you receive the Holy Ghost?" And they replied, "We don't even know who the Holy Ghost is." And Paul said, "Well, let me tell you about him." That's my words. I'm going to have to make my own translation, I guess. And so he laid hands on them, and they all received the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking in tongues. So he baptized them, laid hands on them, and they all received the Holy Ghost. They had power. And then the church flourished with signs, wonders, and miracles. If you don't have this thing that I'm talking about today, I hope that you start getting hungry for having power. I remember when I was saved, I thought that's all it was. And I turned on a TV program and I watched Oral Roberts when he was preaching in these crusades back in the early 50s. And I saw him lay hands on people and I saw them get healed, get out of wheelchairs. I saw people's legs grow. And I said, whatever that is, I want that. Because I didn't see it where I was at. But I saw it on TV and I said, God, if that's real, I want that. And that took me on a journey of over 6 years before I received what I wanted. Some people get it right away. Some people, you got to fight for it and keep on running and keep on asking and keep on seeking. You keep on knocking, you keep on asking. You got to keep on doing that. Amen? But don't stop until you receive that power that we're talking about this morning, because I'm here to tell you it will ruin your life in such a good way. In such a good way. It will ruin your life. It's time for the American church to face up to the fact that our power is not in our pocketbooks. It's not in our organizations. It's not in our denominations. And it's not in our agendas. I'm here to tell you the power that makes us do the work that changes lives is the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's the only power. But that's not going to get people to Jesus. What is going to get people to Jesus is the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Pastor, you're preaching good. Thank you. You didn't need to tell me that. I got confirmation by the Holy Spirit already. I'm preaching really well this morning. You need power to live your lives today. I don't know how any Christian today is living their life without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how. And I can look at some Christians' life and tell you, I know why they're in the mess they're in right now. They need power to rise above the circumstance. They need power to rise above all the calamity that's happening around them. They need power to rise above their family situations. They need power to rise above the addictions that keep on hammering them and trying to drag them back down. They need power to say no to drugs. They need power to say no to alcohol. They need power to stop looking at pornography. They need power to stop looking at sexual addictions and having episodes with falling back and thinking that you're backslidden. You need power. You need power to shut your mouth and stop talking about other people. You need power from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When things start coming at you, you need to back up and say, God, I need power. There's times that, boy, I wanted to say some stuff. And I asked God to give me the strength and the power. I asked the Holy Ghost, shut my mouth. Come on, we need power.
Yes.
How many want that power? All you got to do is ask for it. All you have to do is ask for it. When all hell's coming at you, all you have to do is back up and say, Father God, Holy Spirit, I ask for strength. Holy Spirit, I ask for power. Holy Spirit, I ask that You be a guard around my mouth, that I only speak of Your goodness and Your mercy and Your loving kindness. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would just empower me to live my life pleasing and acceptable unto You. Power. Hallelujah. With the Holy Spirit, we are guaranteed signs, wonders, and miracles to follow us. With the Holy Spirit, you can go out on your own, stir up a lot of stuff, but you will not see signs, wonders, and miracles unless you have the backing of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? Without Him, church is just a social club. Hello? Without the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit, church is just a meeting. It's a social club. It's a clique. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. What's the Trinity? Trinity is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The easiest way I can express this is an egg. One egg, you have a shell, you have a yolk, and you have a white. Three in one. You understand that now? You can be a mother, you can be a daughter, you can be a sister. Hello? You can be one person, but three things. There's three in one, the Trinity. Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's about the simplest way I can explain that. In the Bible, we see God the Father. If you read in the Old Testament, you should be frightened of who God is. God in the Old Testament is the God of vengeance and the God of law. It's the God that tells you, you are not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You'll never be able to make it. His law is perfect. He gave us the law so that it might show us that we can't keep it. That's what God did. He gave us a law just to show us that we could not keep it. Well, why did He do that? Because we thought that we were important. We thought that we could do it on our own. But He said, no, no, no. You can't do any of this without Me. In the New Testament or in the Gospels, you see a different God. God, the loving Father, the One who loves you just unabandonedly, without exception, unconditionally. He sent His Son, even while you were out cussing and cursing His name, He sent His Son to die on a cross for you. God the Father. I love God the Father. In the New Testament, we see God the Son, who is who? Jesus Christ. God the Son. The Old Testament, God is distant, unapproachable, but in the Gospels we see God as very approachable through Jesus, moving among us, showing us that what God would be like if you would just sit down and eat lunch with Him. To sit down and just know Him. To sit down and just crack up and laugh with Him. We see a different God in the New Testament. We see an approachable God. Amen? That's the message of Jesus Christ. You can go boldly into the throne room of grace now. You don't need an advocate anymore because you have a heavenly advocate sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's God the Son, Jesus Christ. And now we can just go boldly into the throne room of God and say, hey, God, how you doing? I don't need anything. I'm just here to say hi. Anybody do that sometimes? You see, you can talk to Him whenever you want now. That's the miracle of the cross. Hallelujah. Then starting in the book of Acts, from Pentecost, in the book of Acts, we see God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, the energizing power of God among the people. We see Him throughout the Old Testament coming upon somebody, but never dwelling in them. He would come upon somebody to do great exploits, and as soon as the great exploits were over, He would leave them again. So we see Him coming upon people, then leaving. Coming upon people and leaving. Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the name is Ruach. It's the Spirit of God, the breath of God. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God. My Lord. In the Old Testament, He'd come and leave. In the New Testament, when He comes, He stays. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is here. I remember listening to Jesse Duplantis. I kind of like listening to him sometimes. And he said when he had his visitation to heaven, when he was up in heaven, the angel asked him, ask anything, ask anything. And he goes, well, where's the Holy Spirit? I see God the Father, God the Son, but where's the Holy Spirit? And the angel goes, well, He's down on earth. He goes, stupid, stupid, stupid. I knew that. The Holy Spirit's here on earth. He is already here. He's a personage. In the New Testament, the Gospels, the church was born in the upper room when the Pentecost happened. And it says, as a fire, the Holy Spirit came upon people. And by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter preached, and over 3,000 people were saved. Every church needs Pentecost to fulfill the Great Commission. Every church, I don't care what denomination you are, you need Pentecost. You need to experience the power of God through the Holy Spirit if you want to go out and finish the Great Commission. Because you can't save anybody on your own. It's only through the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit draws. You don't do anything. I like to think that I preach well enough that I can save somebody, but I can't save anyone. It's by the power and inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts the heart, that draws people back to God. It's the Holy Spirit, not the person. I'm so sick and tired of people lifting up pastors and lifting up evangelists and lifting up missionaries. They're no one without the Holy Spirit. If they have the Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell you, you're equipped to do the same thing. You can do the same thing. They ain't special, because the Bible says this, I'm no respecter of persons. That means what He did for them, He'll do for you. That's awesome. That's awesome, because there's some stuff that I've seen in my lifetime that I want to do. Amen? I think it'd be cool to go into a mortuary and raise the dead. It's been done. The first person to do it was Jesus. And when He was at the grave site, He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. If Jesus would have stood at the grave site and said, come forth, He'd have emptied the grave.
Amen.
Everybody would have came out.
Amen.
Praise God. You have the same dunamis power of Jesus Christ. You have the same power that Jesus Christ had when He was down here on earth, and it's called God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. My God, I'm getting excited. I need to calm down. Whew. We need that power. We need it. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit brings comfort. The Holy Spirit is God. And He brings comfort. So, if He is God, He does the work of God. Amen? And part of that work is bringing comfort. There are many of us who have suffered loss. We have, whether it's death of a loved one, or a loss of a spouse, somebody left you, a business that went under and you had to go bankrupt, or whatever the case may be, only the Holy Spirit can mend your heart. It's only the Holy Spirit that can mend your heart. If you've suffered loss, if you've suffered somebody wronged you in such a way that you don't think you'll ever forgive them, I'm here to tell you, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. Because He brings comfort. He stills the waters. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit also converts. And that's the most important thing. We have to understand that He is the one who brings people to Jesus Christ. He is the example. He is the comforter. He is the one who convicts the heart and tells them that you cannot do it on your own. He's the one that makes you feel like that you're not good enough and draws you to God so that you might have forgiveness of your sins. The Holy Spirit is the one to convict. I like to think I had something to do with it. But I can't save anybody. I like to think God called me to save people, but He didn't. And I don't. He called me to speak forth His Word. You see, I am only a vehicle. I'm a vessel. Just like you. And I have to trust that the Holy Spirit will save, take out the human heart that I had and replace it with His heart and empower me to do great exploits and to turn the world upside down for His glory. When we were saved, God changed our lives. It was a message from the Holy Spirit that got you saved. It was not the pastor. It was not the choir. It was not the music or the special that was sung. It was the Holy Spirit that saved you. That's why you need to start loving the Holy Spirit. Thanking Him for what He's done. Apologizing for doing something that might offend Him. Because He's very precious to you. Because He's the one who helps guide you in this life. You need Him. Amen? It's not the ministry of the pastor, the evangelist, or the missionary, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit that actually brings you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are all saved by the Holy Spirit, and that is why it is the only sin that cannot be forgiven, is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, if you tell Him to depart from you, you don't need Him, how else will you come to Christ? You guys understand that? If you tell the Holy Spirit to leave you alone, stop it. Stop convicting me. I don't need you in my life. Get away from me. I'm sick and tired of you. I want to live my life however I want. And finally, God says, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind. And eventually, you will step over the line. And the Holy Spirit will depart. And never again will you feel guilty about what you've done. You'll live your life however you want. And when you stand before God, He said, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And He was the only one that could save you. You see, you need that in your ear telling you not to do the things that you're doing. You need Him to guide you and direct you. It's not your conscience. It's the Holy Spirit telling you not to do it. We like to think that it's all about us. It's not your conscience, people. It's the Holy Spirit. We need to listen. When He convicts you of a sin, say you're sorry. Or the religious thing is ask for forgiveness. We were all saved with the Holy Spirit, and that's why you need the Holy Spirit to come to Christ. The Holy Spirit's message to you is that you need to be saved, but God does not force His salvation on you. If you say you don't need to be saved, then you have condemned yourself to live without God here and hereafter. You have chosen to not be pardoned of your sins. The unpardonable sin is saying simply no to God. If you say no to God, that's the unpardonable sin. Because without God, you're unpardoned. It's that simple, people. We've made it into this big, huge thing, but it's not. When you tell the Holy Spirit to leave you alone and He does, then who will save you? You can't save yourself. So, He gets us to repent, but the Holy Spirit also gives us guidance, and I'm thankful for the guidance. Amen? Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, we'll say God, you know, opens and shuts doors. Thankfully, it's the Holy Spirit who opens and shuts doors for us. There's three answers. Yes, no, and wait. Because the Holy Spirit is still out there moving on your behalf, getting people in the right places and moving people around and doing things for you that you cannot see in your human eyes. But the Holy Spirit is out there working on your behalf. And if you open the door now, the people would not be there. So we have to wait on the Holy Spirit to do what He needs to do to connect the right people and to move people where they need to be moved. Amen? He guides us. I am so thankful for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There are times when you don't know what to do or where to go. You have to make a business decision or a family decision or a personal decision. You want wisdom. So you go to the Lord in prayer and God gives you guidance. How does He give you guidance? Through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And every time I preach, I know the Holy Spirit is moving, He's breathing, He's alive, and He's active in the congregation because He is moving and guiding all of us. The Holy Spirit actually brings joy as well. Now, I love humor. Anybody who knows me knows that I like to joke around. But real joy is different than just laughing. Real joy is having the sense of getting up in the morning and knowing that the universe is not out to get you. There's a perfect peace that comes upon you when you are walking in the joy of the Lord, because nothing can knock you off of center. You're not going to get to me today because you have the joy of the Lord. Real joy is understanding that you're not the world's punching dummy. If there's no joy in your life, I guarantee you are not in step with God. Because the Holy Spirit is bringing you joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Weeping may endure, but joy is coming in the morning. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit wants to put a smile on your face. Why? Because you're to be a witness. And nobody wants to come to Jesus by a sourpuss. The devil's constantly beating me up. I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. You want to know my Jesus? No, thank you. Not really. I don't want to know your Jesus. Oh, my Lord. We've looked at what the Holy Spirit does. I want to take the minutes that I have left and tell you what the Holy Spirit does not do. The Holy Spirit does not split a church. He does not cause discord. He does not talk about the pastor. He does not talk about the elders. He does not talk about somebody else who's across the pew. That is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a gift of the flesh. The Holy Spirit doesn't do it, but He gives you power to step over it. But you have to stop yourself. Say, no. Holy Spirit, you know what I want to say, Jesus, because you know my heart. You know what I want to say. But Holy Spirit, give me the strength not to say it. Give me the power to love them, even when they're talking about me. Give me power to smile at the circumstance. Give me power. You know, it's kind of hard to smile when people are throwing rocks.
That's right.
But that's what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to pick up the rock and start throwing it back. That's called discord. That's of the devil. That's not of God. So the Holy Spirit does not give you the right to do that. The Holy Spirit, His job is not to give you goosebumps. Spirit's job is not to give you goosebumps so that you can leave the church service and say, "Woo, we had a good time. Look at it, I got goosebumps." I've been in services where I've heard that. "Woo, look at the goosebumps. Look at God moved in our service." No, that's not why the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit does give you goosebumps. But He doesn't give it to you so that you can walk out and go, "Ooh, look at the, we had such a good service." He gives you those experiences so that it might draw you to a closer relationship with Him. Because He's in your ear saying, "If you like that, come closer. I got more. I got more than goosebumps." All He wants you to do is open up your heart and let Him come in. And not only let Him come in, but let Him have rule and reign over your life. Would you close your eyes? And why don't you do one thing for me today? Bottom of your heart, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to take control of your life? There's some things that we do that we don't need to do. There's some things we say that we really don't need to say. And we all need power. Spirit. We all need direction from the Holy Spirit. We all need guidance from the Holy Spirit. Without Him in your life, you're headed toward ruin. Why don't you open up your heart, raise your hands, and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Holy Spirit, I ask that You'd fill me. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, that You would empower me to do Your work and to do Your will. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would open doors that no man can open, and shut doors that no man can shut. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just come, move and breathe in this place, that you have your way in everyone's life here, that you would empower every single person here to be a mighty witness for you, so that people can come to Jesus by what you do through our lives. Holy Spirit, I ask that you be a guard over our mouths, that we speak of only your goodness and your mercy, that no negative thing comes out of our mouths. Holy Spirit, I ask that you give us healing strength, healing power, that we might be able to pray for one another, and that we might see healings, that we might see deliverances, that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow the people. Not because we're special, but because we're carrying somebody special. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would forgive us for anything that we've done that might have hindered you, that might have bothered you. I ask that you'd have your way. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,